Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Yesterday, a handful of protesters participated in protests outside of the Monroe Correctional Complex, as well as the governor's mansion, demanding that all prisoners be released in Washington State over concerns that the coronavirus could essentially cause a deadly outbreak in prisons. The protest, of course, comes as Governor Inslee ordered the release of 1,100 or so nonviolent older criminals near the end of their prison sentence. One of the movement supporters is Joshua Collins. He's a socialist candidate for Washington's 10th district, a seat that is being vacated by the retiring Congressman Denny Heck. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we don't need to litigate, I don't think, releasing people who are especially vulnerable. I understand the argument. I may disagree with the big picture, but I understand it. What exactly is the argument to release everyone in prison, which includes, of course, violent offenders?
Well, I think the hashtag is like kind of hyperbolic, but the point is that it is more cost effective to put people on house arrest. And I mean, because that's really what they're talking about. They're not talking about just like, oh, you're completely, scot-free from whatever you've been convicted of. We know for a fact that it saves anywhere from like $10,000 to $30,000 a year to put someone on house arrest as opposed to keeping them inside of a, a literal prison. And so I think in the cases where it makes sense to do that, I think that's what they're advocating for.
Okay, well, then let us separate just for the sake of the argument, because to your point, the hashtag is Free Them All Washington, which obviously you say is hyperbolic. I'm not sure it's hyperbolic to everyone who's taking that position. So for you, should someone who is a murderer or a child molester, should they be released?
No, I don't think that's what that's about.
Okay, so take us through the reason why
the majority of people who are in prison are like people who have committed nonviolent offenses. And frankly, if they were wealthy and had a good lawyer, they probably would be on house arrest anyway, or would have had a shorter sentence. And I think that's what this is all about. It's about doing the rational thing and the moral thing.
Well, obviously, when we talk about the rational or moral thing, that depends on the way people think. I mean, when you look at some of these nonviolent offenders, when we're talking about car thieves or burglars or people who possess or sell weapons illegally. Say again?
Do you think a car thief is a threat to the public?
I think a car thief is a threat to the people whom they're stealing the cars from. Certainly you would concede that.
Well, I mean, you can look at where they've actually released people, and those people have actually followed the guidelines, and they've put an ankle bracelet on them, and they are still under house arrest. It's how it works.
That's my question then. There's a difference between a house arrest, which is not the language that's coming from this campaign, at least on Twitter. And we all concede that Twitter, with the amount of characters that you can put out there, you maybe don't get all the details. But you're arguing that everybody who's released early, or anyone who would be released, period, they should be not just under a house arrest that's voluntary. You're saying they should have ankle bracelets on them.
I think that's what's actually happening. I think that's the plan. And there is a progressive, I think it's titled a prosecutor, whichever title it's called in California. But one of the prosecutors is actually putting people on house arrest, but that also allows them to start doing things like working a job and via kind of reintroducing the society in a more healthy way. I think that's what most people would agree we should be doing anyway. There have been mass movements change our prison system to be something that it focuses more on rehabilitation and ensuring that person is not going to continue to commit crimes rather than
the restorative justice
punishment
model.
Yeah. I mean, there was a mass movement a while back that just advocated for prisoners to, instead of just being locked up in a cage, to have a regular job and to be able to work, a full-time job and, be productive and just get paid a regular living wage, rather than having this weird system where you have to choose between making 50 cents a day or a dollar a day or not working. And I think that's what most people would agree we should move towards.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think certainly within the movement that you are a part of, whether we're talking about the socialist movement or a progressive movement, I think you're probably right. I don't think that's the same across the board. If you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking with Joshua Collins. He is a socialist candidate for Washington's 10th congressional district. This is the seat that is being vacated by Congressman Denny Heck, who announced his retirement. He's now running for lieutenant governor. By the way, Joshua2020.com is the website. When you hear some of the voices in your movement that hold the more extreme positions that you do not back, what value do you think do they bring to the movement as a whole?
Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I'm probably one of the leftists with the biggest platform possibly in the country. You know, I've got over 250,000 followers. So I think my voice is something that a lot of people listen to, and I think it's important to understand that I am advocating for just rational, common sense ideas, like you know, treating people like humans, and also, frankly, it's not just the moral action to take; it's also the more fiscally responsible thing to do, because we know for a fact it costs only about $6,000 to like keep someone on like you know, a more like house arrest type system, rather than keeping them in a prison cell. And I think there are a lot of people who you know, very clearly are not dangerous to the public. If you stole a car, and you didn't, you know, you didn't kill anyone, you didn't assault anyone, you know, that's not a violent crime. That's something that we would like you to not do again, but it is also something that, you know, is not a danger to the public. That person can be, you know, very easily, rehabilitated, or we can have the system where we have right now, where almost everyone who goes into prison comes out worse off. And I think it's pretty obvious what we should be doing.
Okay, well, then what would be the proposal if someone goes down this road of a more restorative justice where you're sort of taking this more holistic approach to avoid jail, but they continue down the path of committing burglaries? And I'll push back a little bit on this idea that, you know, a car thief isn't that big of a deal. Tell that to the individual who relies on that car to get to work. Obviously, to them, it's a big deal.
Yeah, but it's not like that person is such a threat to the public that we should spend $30,000 a year keeping them locked in prison. By the way, most of that money goes towards our contractors. You know, I think we all would agree that there is a more financially responsible way to do this, and there's a more rational way to do it. I mean, it's like we all agree that the prison system is flawed, that it's all messed up, that, you know, it doesn't actually improve the people who are put in prison. And I think we should all agree that if someone committed a crime like that, they stole a car or whatever, right? That person, we should try and improve that person's life. We should try and make sure that the factors that contributed to them making that decision are no longer there. And that means making sure that they have a good paying job, that they can actually just work for a living.
So we should reward someone who's stealing from other people by giving them a high paying job.
We're calling it rewarding, but what is your solution? How else do you think we're going to get people to stop committing crimes? I mean, we know for a fact that the number one determining factor of someone committing a crime is their economic situation. If they are in poverty, they are infinitely more likely
in education, but yes. And education, but I think they're clearly tied together. I think
I'm in person with a high school education. I think we should have people be able to get a decent job, and I think that's a big reason. If you do have an education, you're probably in a better economic situation.
Because I'm trying to understand your perspective here. Prisons, you're not saying we should get rid of. It sounds like what you're saying is we should reserve prisons for people who are violent.
Sure.
Or the capabilities of violence. If someone has, for example, child pornography, but they didn't film it, we should be punishing that person.
Yeah, these are cases that I don't really. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, those are completely different than someone who stole a car. I think we agree on that. Yeah.
So then my question is, for the prolific offender, where people are doing what they can to get them treatment, to get them education, to address some of the underlying issues, at what point do you say, okay, you're not listening to us, you're not taking our assistance, you continue to go down this pathway, there needs to be some kind of punishment? What is that bar for?
Well, I mean, tell me an example in which we actually did address those issues. I mean, most people who come out of prison are actually in a worse position than they went in. I think we actually need to take the step towards actually addressing those issues, like instead of arguing for why we shouldn't.
That's what I'm asking you. For example, in Seattle, we have Francisco Calderon, who kind of has become this poster child for poster adult for the prolific offender problem here. He has 75 convictions, 14 of which have to do with assault. He was ordered most recently to go into drug treatment, but he's not going into drug treatment. And there are some who say, okay, we need to, at this point, because he's not getting the help that we're offering, he needs to be put in prison because there are victims to his crimes. So in a case like that, I guess, and you could argue certainly that that's maybe an extreme case, what's the solution? And I'll give you the last word.
I mean, I don't really know much about that guy, but I mean, we are specifically talking about people who haven't done those things, and I'm thinking...
Of the people who we have, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Stole a car, so.
I got your point on the people who maybe are first-time offenders, or maybe even second-time. I got it. I'm asking about the repeat offenders. What's the plan to deal with the repeat offenders short of prison?
I don't know what the plan is for that. I'm not really sure. I think those people are, I don't like the way our prisons are set up anyway, but I think we would probably see less people like that if we actually had a system that did corrections rather than just funnel money to, all these contractors.
So. Okay, there you go. Joshua Collins is running in Washington's 10th district. If you're interested in learning more about his campaign, joshua2020.com. Thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Everyone.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. Hope everyone has a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro.